the number one talk show choice of many galleys.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We had one heck of an interesting evening last evening here at The Kevin Smith Show studio. Now, those of you who tried to catch the show last night know that we kept having our internet feed interrupted. As it turns out, that was not hackers. That was some sort of problem that the cable company had and that they were working on. And it kept coming and going. And then I don't know what happened, but at one point then the electricity went off. And so that killed the computers. Now, the computers, of course, handle the broadcast, right? The computers, without the computers, you have nothing. And so it's very, very important that the computers be working. Makes sense, doesn't it? All right, now, without the computers working, what happens is we can't send the signal out. So when the electricity went off, even with the internet blinking on and off, there was no signal to go out because even if the internet happened to have been up, the signal would have been down. No electricity. So last night was phenomenal. It just was phenomenal. Now, and it is phenomenal this evening, as a matter of fact. We're experiencing difficulties this evening. And those of you who are trying to watch the show, you're probably getting audio, but you're not getting any video. Well, let me remind you, it is, after all, a radio show, and that means that you know, you can either stay right where you are listening, or you could do something else, and that would be you could click one of the alternative links. All right, now the alternative link is right on my website. You'll see them. And the alternative links will take you to other sites where you can listen to the show. Now, I've been signaled that we had one camera go dead, but you are now viewing this on the alternative camera. I suspect that's where we will leave it for the rest of the night. So if you have any kind of technical difficulties this evening and you're trying to watch the show, I would suggest that you pick up the internet links to the radio show and forget about the video. You can watch the video tomorrow, okay? My guest this evening will be Walter Bosley, and we're going to be talking about something that has already angered some of our listeners. I'll tell you about that when we come back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Walter Bosley. He's well known to all of you who are regulars here at the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who don't know Walter, he is an author. He is a publisher. He is a former special agent with U.S. Air Force OSI. And he and I have produced a little video together in the past. So he is a frequent guest on the show. And let me just kick it off by saying, Walter, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always good to be here, Kevin.
Now, this has been very, very interesting, getting ready for the show. I tried to do some of this last night. It was my plan to do some of this last night. And we were just interfered with unmercifully. Not, I think, intentionally, but it still had its effect. And then we're having weird stuff happen right now. We just had a camera that, for some reason, the system isn't seeing it anymore. And nevertheless, I'm looking at the monitor for the camera, and the camera's on and it's working. So it's just been very, very weird. Okay, now, here's the deal. This show deals with things that are paranormal, strange, and unexplained. We talk about UFOs. We talk about the possibility of life on Mars, the possibility of life on the moon. We talk about all kinds of things that are out there on the edge. That's what the show is about. Well, out there on the edge, anything that makes waves out there in that genre, and not just edge, but it has to be paranormal or strange and unexplained, and anything that actually makes waves, in that regard, catches our attention. And there is a video that originally it was shot, produced by CNN. It was aired by CNN. It has now caught attention, and all across the world, people are showing just this little clip of the video. CNN was doing the nonstop, incessant Michael Jackson broadcasting that all the networks were doing, and they had Larry King visiting Neverland. Okay, well, Larry King visited Neverland, and the film crew was giving a tour inside the house, and this particular piece of video was shot from Michael Jackson's bedroom at Neverland. And they had just panned around the room so you could see the bedroom. Of course, the whole place is devoid of furnishings now. And they had panned around, you could see the bedroom. And now the camera is, and the cameraman is standing in the door, looking back in toward the living room, down a hallway. And you see this shadow go across the hallway. And people all across the world have been saying Michael Jackson's ghost. All right, now, before we get into this, Walter, I got a couple of things I need to say about this.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I'm not saying it is Michael Jackson's ghost. That's not what I'm saying. And this is not a show tonight about Michael Jackson. This is a show about the paranormal, the strange and unexplained. And we report on things and examine things and ask questions about things that make waves in that genre of information. Well, this certainly is making waves all around the world, so much so that CNN is even reporting on the international coverage that this video clip is getting. And CNN has offered up an explanation for what we're actually looking at. I'm not saying that that's Michael Jackson's ghost, and I'm not saying that it's Michael or that it's a ghost at all. But I do think they need to go get a better script writer for their explanation, and I'm going to show you why tonight. Now, amazingly, as word of this got out, and it wasn't leaked out. We began announcing today that we were going to deal with this video. We began sending out emails, and I started getting quite a number of emails in response saying, you know, that people were dismayed that I would be doing a show about Michael Jackson. Some were angry that I would be doing a show about Michael Jackson. I appreciate your response, and at the risk of upsetting some folks, I still have to say, please grow up. You know that this show is about the paranormal, and you know that I will not be doing a tribute show to Michael Jackson. I will not be doing a tribute show to Ed McMahon, to Farrah Fawcett. But if there's something strange and unexplained and possibly paranormal that's making waves, it really doesn't matter whose name is attached to it. And, I used a photograph on tonight's, the faceplate for tonight's show. That photograph has been around for a long, long, long time. It is purportedly a ghost on a stairway. No one has a problem with that. And you don't even know whose name is supposed to be attached to it. This is a show about tonight, about ghosts. And we're going to take a look at this video because it is all over the internet. And because a lot of people are saying that's Michael Jackson's ghost. Now, Walter, you know, on my site, we run an opinion poll.
Yes.
And I have on the site an opinion poll that I put up today in preparation for this show tonight. And that opinion poll is about this video clip. And it says, the Michael Jackson ghost video shows, and at this point, I'd say I put it up this afternoon, didn't announce that it was up there. We've only got 27 people that have voted on it so far. And, well, let me refresh that and see what we've got. No, 33. And the options are, it says, the Michael Jackson ghost video shows, A, the ghost of Michael Jackson, B, the shadow of a worker, and C, a hoax. Now, I'm going to show you tonight why I don't think that is the shadow of a worker. So, 42%, 42.5% have said it's the shadow of a worker. 36.3% say it's a hoax. Well, could it be? Yeah, it could be. However, if it is, that is a hoax that was perpetrated by the producers or the film editors of that CNN broadcast. Okay, so this is not something someone out there photoshopped. This is in the actual CNN video. And I think you saw the actual CNN video, right, Walter?
Yes, okay. I did, several times.
Okay, so you saw that it was in there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So could it be a hoax? Well, it could be, but if so, it's the folks at CNN that did it. So this is not somebody out on the internet that photoshopped this in.
Right.
All right? So we're not saying that this is a ghost, and if it is, we're not saying that it's Michael Jackson. But the official explanation, I don't think, fits. And I want us to examine this whole idea of ghosts in general tonight, but I'm going to show... Now, the clip that I'm going to show is a clip that I showed last night, and it's a clip that actually comes from YouTube. It's not the original straight from CNN, okay? And the reason I chose this one is because whoever made this one shows you the CNN video and then shows it to you in slow motion and then shows it to you in black and white. So that you can pick up some more detail, all right?
Now, I need to be logged in to your site to see what you're going to show, correct?
Well, you just go to my site, click on where it says Mac.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm going to play the video. Now, for those on radio, we just saw the actual full-speed CNN version. Now we're seeing a slow motion version, and we can see a shadow crossing in front of the camera. All right. Now I think they show this again, and then I think that's when. Yeah, here it goes to black and white. All right. Now when we go to black and white, you pick up more detail, and it's zoomed in. And you can see that the camera is in a doorway and is pointed out a hallway. It's looking down a hallway. All right, now.
Is that a camera or a light?
Hmm?
Is that a camera or a light stand?
You cannot see the camera that takes the picture. But you can see that it's in the doorway. You can see where it's standing. You don't get it?
Yeah, I mean, no, I watched it, but I think the object that's in the doorway is...
No. I'm not talking about an object in the doorway. I'm talking about what you can see, and I'll draw on the screen. You can see that you're standing in a doorway.
Yes.
Okay, and you can see that you're looking up a hallway.
Right.
So even though we cannot see the camera, we can see exactly where the camera's positioned.
Okay.
Okay.
What is that object on a stand, though? That's a light.
That's a light, apparently a light stand back there.
Yeah.
But the lights are not on, or if they are, they're not pointed this direction. If
right.
the lights were pointed in this direction, you'd have a glare in the camera, which you do not have.
Absolutely. You're right.
Okay.
There.
So if those lights are on, they're... pointed upward or to one side. They're not pointed back towards this camera. All right, now, there are a couple of problems that I have with buying the explanation. Now, the explanation that's been given by by CNN, the explanation that's been given is that this is absolutely for sure the shadow of a crew member walking in front of lights. Now, I'm going to show you why that isn't true. I don't know what is true, but that's not true. And in order to show you why I believe that, I have prepared a little diagram. Now, what I've done here is I have turned the perspective around, all right, instead of the perspective that we were looking at, and this doesn't change anything, the perspective that we were looking at had the living room at the top of the screen and the camera located at the bottom of the screen. I've turned it sideways simply because of the orientation of our video screen to give me more room here, okay? And so, and that's what this is all about. So in this, in that view of it, the living room would be over here to the right, The camera is in the doorway. This is the Michael Jackson bedroom, and here's the doorway that this video is in. And so what we've got is a sideways. We've just turned the room around sideways. Now let me show you why that shows us that it's not the shadow of someone walking in front of a light. The circle that you see, for those who are on radio, I've got a circle marking where the camera would have been positioned, approximately in that position. It's positioned in the doorway. I have also marked where the light would have had to have been. It would have had to have been behind the camera, not in front of it. If it was in front of it, you would see it. So the light's behind the camera. That means that if someone who is walking in front of that light is actually causing the shadow that we see crossing the hallway, that light should also be casting a shadow of the camera and cameraman. And it isn't. Does that make sense to you, Walter?
I understand what you're saying, but my perspective, my view on that is that the source of the light is down the hall in the room where we see the shadow. If you'll notice, to the
left. No, it can't be. It can't be.
Well, but we can't see the entire room. It could be.
But it can't be. Just the physics of lighting. If the light is down in that hallway, the shadow would not be projected down into that hallway. Okay?
Well,
in other words, if the light is in that room where we see the shadow cross,
right,
then we would see the person cross in front of the camera. The only way we can get a shadow crossing down there is for that person to have been behind the camera. If they're crossing in the living room, if they're creating a shadow that's crossing in the living room, there won't be a shadow. There'll be a body crossing in the living room.
Well, unless down that hall in the room that we're seeing videotape, where we see the shadow pass, if there is a light source that is out of view from what the camera can see, and that person is in that room and they move across that unseen light source, we may not see their body, but we will see the shadow projected by the light. If the light is either to the left or to the right, out of view of the camera. My perspective of watching that is that there is a light source down that hall in that room that we can't see. And if you recall, in their explanation, they said there were a lot of crew people and they were doing various setups in the mansion. It could be that they just happened to, you know, shoot down a corridor to a room where there was another setup where they were going to be in that room. Either they were in it before or they were in it later. But in your diagram on the right, down the hall from where the circle and the star are, down the right is what the camera's shooting. What I'm saying is the source of the light is either out of view of the camera around either the left corner or the right corner of those walls you've drawn. And the person passed in front of the light, but they didn't necessarily have to pass in front of the camera.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back. I'll show you in a minute why I don't think that's right. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Walter Bosley. Walter, I understand what you're saying, but the evidence in the video itself precludes that, and I'll show you. Okay? I'm going to play the video again, and then I'm just I'm going to stop it at one point. Okay? So
okay.
Let's go to the video. Okay, now I'm going to stop this video right here. Okay, Now I'm going to back it up and play it again to that point. We see the shadow emerging from our left to the right. And now the shadow is fully in the middle of the hallway. Mm-hmm. And we have the shadow within the lines that I've just drawn. Now, if a shadow emanates from its source, obviously. So if that source is someone over on the left, down there in that living room,
right,
we ought to see the shadow angled in this direction.
You're right. That's a good point.
If it's on the right, it would be impossible. If the person was over on the right side of the living room, it would be impossible to be casting a shadow that's moving from left to right. But if it were possible, the shadow would be angled from its source. Okay, now I'm going to show you a picture, folks, of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Here we have a photograph that shows a shadow with a light source behind it, and we have the cameraman. This is just a still photograph I found on the internet, and I've given credit at the bottom as they requested. Now, what you have is, if the shadow is emanating from behind the camera, if the light source is behind the camera, and then the shadow is emanating as a result of the cameraman or someone interrupting that light source, what you wind up with is an elongated and out of proportion shadow. We see the torso and head out of proportion with the length of the legs.
Ah, yes.
Okay, now, in this picture, there's a little girl on the right, and the little girl is leaned up against a wall, and she's right next to that wall, so her shadow is being projected on the wall, and it's in alignment with the shape of her body. However, it is elongated sideways from her body, because the light source is back behind the cameraman. All right. Now, if we take a look at the at this photograph or at this video, and I'm going to play the video again, I want you to pay particular attention to the lower part of the screen. I want you to pay particular attention to the floor area and tell me if you see movement that looks like the feet at the end of the shadow. All right, so let's do that. Let's back it up. Watch the lower part of the screen and tell me if you see movement in the lower part of the screen.
Yes.
Therefore, we cannot be looking at someone moving around down in that living room, and we can't be looking at someone moving behind our cameraman here, because if this is movement from behind the camera, this shadow should be elongated and out of proportion, just like what we saw in that photograph.
But let me ask you this, because you explained that very well with the far room. However, on the sides, before you get to the room, what are those spaces? Is there any glass? Again, is a similar thing possible from the spaces on the side before you get to the room that could have done that?
Well, let's take a look at it.
As you point out, you see the legs and feet, the shadows of the legs and feet moving, yeah, right through the middle there.
Yeah. But there is a window to the left.
Uh-huh.
And if that's someone outside moving toward the house, there's the window. The window is on the left. If there is someone moving toward the house, they would not be projecting a shadow down that in that area of the hallway.
But what about beyond the window, see the next dark area, and then before
that's the room? That's part of a room.
Okay.
And
without glass or anything.
Right. But then, you know, you should not, if someone is doing something in that area, we should not see movement in this area.
Right. Well, and even a shadow would be shaped differently.
It would be shaped differently. You would have the shadow angled from its source.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a compelling argument that there's at least the explanation they gave does not appear to be so valid.
There may be a valid explanation, but not, as you say, not the one they gave.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is Michael Jackson's ghost, and I'm not saying it's a ghost. What I'm saying is that video is really making waves around the world. It's almost a feeding frenzy, and people are saying that's Michael Jackson's ghost. The explanation that's been given by CNN doesn't fit what we're looking at.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, what's interesting, which we probably get into later, is the fact that his residence, this ranch, happens to be located in an area associated with very strange paranormal phenomena.
All right. Let me see. Yeah, we've got time to sort of dive into that a little bit. Now, you are an expert on the subject of ley lines, and you and I have talked about ley lines not only on this show, but in a video that we produced, the video out at South Mountain, where we went out to the Magic Castle and stood where there's the intersection of 14 ley lines, and then found very weird stuff depicted in petroglyphs that are hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of years old.
Right.
In a direct line, one of the ley lines comes right to where we were standing, and where we were standing looking at those petroglyphs, a quarter of a mile away or so, it was a straight shot over to that castle. And so ley lines have been associated with all kinds of mysterious goings on for centuries.
Yes.
Is there a ley line near Neverland?
Yeah, first, I appreciate you calling me an expert. I call myself a researcher and an experiencer. I'm definitely an experiencer of the ley line phenomenon. But yes, there is. There is a ley line that comes out from the Channel Islands. It's heading west through the Channel Islands, and then it sweeps up north, and it returns to the coast. It splits just northwest of San Miguel Island. It splits, and the lower one, or the southernmost one after the split, returns the line to the land at Point Conception, which I'll get into later. That's a major thing. But the northern line of the split returns to land just west of and goes through Lompoc and continues east out of Lompoc to through north of Buellton and on east into Ventura. Now, what's interesting is Neverland Ranch, located in Los Olivos, is located just a few miles north of this ley line that goes through Lompoc and north of Buellton on into Ventura. And with these ley lines, I think I've said in the past, I want to reiterate it, you know, you don't have to be standing right smack dab on the line. Certainly, there's much more phenomena on the lines and at the intersections of them. But, you know, this stuff kind of spreads out from the lines, almost in a scalar way, you might say. So Neverland Ranch is indeed close enough, definitely close enough to a ley line to, just like the rest of Los Olivos and Santa Barbara to the south, prone to experience the phenomena associated with the lines, definitely.
Well, as I said, I am not promoting the idea that this is Michael Jackson's ghost or that it's any ghost. I'm not promoting that idea, nor am I debunking it. What I am doing is saying there's something weird in that video. It seems to have caught CNN by surprise. So I could be wrong about this, but their response to this doesn't seem to be the response of a hoaxer, and it would have to be them. It would have to be their people that hoaxed it if it is a hoax.
Right.
So it doesn't seem to me to be that. It doesn't seem to me that their reactions and response are that lines up with people who have hoaxed something.
Right.
But the explanation that they have offered doesn't match what we see in the video. This shadow that crosses is obviously walking. I'll show it again later, but you can see the legs move.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the knees bend. And this, it's not angled toward any light source. It's upright.
Right.
And it's not elongated, so it's not emanating from the area of the cameraman. It would have to be elongated. If that's where it was coming from, it would have to be right. A shadow coming from Michael Jackson's bedroom and being displayed down the hallway. So it would be elongated and angular and out of proportion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not emanating from the right or left in the living room, because if it was, we would not see the legs and the feet as upright. They would be angled in the direction from which it was emanating. So I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. And we are a little bit later. We'll open up the telephone lines. And folks, put your thinking caps on, not your feeling caps. Some of you absolutely adore Michael Jackson. So to you, this is a Michael Jackson show. Some of you absolutely hate Michael Jackson, and so to you, this is a Michael Jackson show. Forget that garbage. Get that out of your mind. This is a show about that video and, in general, about ghosts and the possibility of ghosts. Now, Walter, I find you to be particularly interesting on this point because we're coming up on a break, so we'll get into this when we come back. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, you were an Air Force officer, you were an OSI, special agent, counterintelligence, and this kind of stuff is not beyond the realm of possibility in your mind, and we'll talk about that. That's a little bit different combination. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Walter Bosley. Let me say, for all of you who are listening by radio, or you're listening to an internet radio station, or you're listening on cell phones, fear not, you will be able to watch the video of this within an hour after the show. Okay, give it about an hour, and the video of this show will be up on my website. You just go to my website, look at the menu on the left, and you'll see where it says Watch Latest Show. That's your first clue. Click that, and you will see the video of this show, and you'll see what I've been putting up on the screen if you happen not to be watching at the moment, but listening, you'll be able to see it. All right, Walter, I mentioned before we went to break You know, you are formerly Air Force officer, special agent in OSI, counterintelligence. You know, we don't normally think of people with that pedigree as buying into the possibilities of things that are paranormal. And yet I know that you do. I know that because of what you write, and I know that because you and I have spent time together and gotten to know each other, and I we've gotten to we've been able to talk. And I know that this is not something that bothers you. The paranormal doesn't bother you, and in fact, you are pretty open to it. Talk to us about that for a moment. How is that? Why is that? Why are you open to the paranormal?
Well, first of all, you might be surprised how many guys coming from, you know, my background and similarly your background might be surprised how many actually, you know, embrace it, and they do. You know, it's, to my knowledge, the deeper and higher you go, the more you find men and women who very much are open to these things. To me, it makes sense because, you know, when you come out of the intelligence world that often deals with the world's biggest secrets, you are going to venture into the territory of what is considered to be strange phenomena. I just consider it just, you know, reality. It's just a part of the spectrum of reality that, you know, is commonly not experienced consciously anyway. I accredit it to the fact that the man who was my mentor, who got a hold of me years ago, he's very much aware of these things and knowledgeable of these things. And, you know, so from the get-go, from day one, I started work for Uncle Sam on the 14th of March, 1988, when I was sworn in as an FBI employee. And, I mean, I had already experienced a gamut of extraordinary and strange otherworldly phenomena, which maybe they wouldn't have sworn me in had they known that, but I think on some level somebody knew it. It's something that is shared by more than you would think. I still am an officer, by the way. Commissions are for life. You know, there's other guys I know that...
When I say formerly, I mean
about it.
Formerly active duty.
What's that?
I said, when I say formerly, I'm referring to formerly active duty.
Sure, sure. Yeah. No, I understand. I just didn't know how many people actually understood that when you get a commission, at least in the U.S., you get an officer's commission, even though you're no longer on active duty or even if you retire, you actually are technically still an officer. The commission's for life, and they tell you that you can be pulled back onto active duty at the whims of the president and his orders and commands, which it's kind of a, you know, I consider it an honor, kind mm-hmm. of a cool thing. But,
well, it certainly is, and I don't know if I've ever said it on the air, but thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
Hey.
Now, sure. You are correct. See, I get asked that question a lot. People ask me, I've been asked on the air, how is it that someone that was international police could be, you know, wrapped up with all this stuff about the paranormal? And you are correct. There are a great many people in those professions, police, in the intelligence world, military, who are very, very aware of the reality of things paranormal. Relatively few of them will speak about it outside their own very tight, closely knit circle of friends.
Right.
But it's sort of an open secret.
Well, some of that, too, is because their colleagues, and I'm sure you know this, your colleagues, my colleagues, there's more, as many as there are of guys like us, there are more of the guys who, hey, they can be great cops, they can be great agents, they can be great soldiers, you know, whatever, but they just don't believe in this stuff. So their reaction to it is the typical reaction, and you just kind of want to avoid that, because that the typical unbelievers, or the person who just simply hasn't experienced it or really looked into it enough, their reaction is coming from a place of fear and ego. And it just makes them feel more comfortable to, you know, either laugh at, berate, or somehow punish those who, among their circle, you know, are...
Well, I'll tell you something. If people will read things that are written by soldiers who have been in battle,
yeah,
in virtually any war... Yeah. They will find story after story after story after story of something very, very weird and paranormal taking place in those battles.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it is not the socially accepted thing in Western society anyway to talk about those. And so what happens is, once it happens and everyone there says, "Did you see what I saw?" and they all discuss it, then they go away from that experience and never talk about it again.
Mm-hmm.
But there are great, great many people in the ranks of the militaries, not just of this country, but militaries all around the world, police services all around the world, intelligence services all around the world, who have seen and experienced things that we would have to call paranormal. But they know that it's our society is structured to deny the facts. We have a view of the world and a view of the cosmos in our society that is accepted, and anyone who has a different view of that, or who voices a different view of that, is ostracized, and it can have a very bad effect on your career. Now, look, when it comes to the paranormal, it's sort of like the same thing with the gaze. Don't ask, don't tell.
You know, that's a good analogy there. It's true. You're almost treated the same way that you know, the gay folks are treated, you know, have been historically treated and are still treated by some people. You're some kind of weirdo. You're not normal. You know, you're not, you know, come on, shut up about that stuff. Have a beer, watch the football game, you know, be normal.
Yeah, get your feet on the ground.
Let your wife berate you. Like, be a regular guy like the rest of us, you know, and it's God forbid you talk about, you know, your own experiences, not just that you're open to other people's, but your own. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, I had experiences from the time, consciously, from the time I was 16 years old, and, you know, right on up to when I started working, you know, for the government in that particular case. And the last 2 years of my life have been extraordinarily active with things, and as you know, I'm writing about it. I'm not prepared to talk about it yet, but
boy, it's a blockbuster, though, folks. Believe me, I've had long conversations with Walter about the book he's working on, and this is a blockbuster.
Yeah, I'll put it to you this way: if I had never had a strange experience with any kind of weird phenomena in my life before, just the last 2 years alone would have made me a believer. I have experienced synchronicity. I have experienced strange visitations. I have experienced, just a gamut of strange things. And I know some people, here they come, "Oh, he's besieged by demons."
Well, if you are, deal with those demons during this break. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to open up the phone line in just a moment and allow you who are listening to call in and talk with us about what you think about ghosts in general. And let me ask you, Walter, what do you think? Is there such a thing as ghosts? Well, I guess we've lost Walter.
Oh, no, you were asking me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, is there such a thing as ghosts? Are there such things as disembodied spirits?
Certainly. Oh, God, of course. There's disembodied all sorts of... There are various levels of ghosts. I happen to believe very much in what's known as the revenant. To me, the existence of a revenant makes sense because there you have somebody who died, very often murder, or they died, under circumstances that, were unnatural, that, a lot of times foul play in some sort was involved, and that's a restless spirit, and they will not rest until the foul play is uncovered, or even more simply, until... in many cases, the revenant is where there's a missing person or a missing body, and until the body is found. Peter Straub wrote about this excellently in his great novel, Ghost Story. If you've ever read the book or seen the movie, that is a classic revenant, and basically the ghost just wants the body to be found. And I don't want to ruin the story for anybody, but, that's part of it. But there are things other than ghosts. There is something I'm very much a proponent of the idea of, and that's time slips. I think time slips and the thinning of the veil between time eras and explains what we call ghosts as well.
All right. Before I open up the telephone line, I'm going to run this video again and ask everyone that happens to be watching, or if you're watching this... as the latest show within the next 24 hours, you're watching the recording of this. Focus. Well, I'll talk about it as we go through it. All right. I'm going to run this video again, and as it begins slow motion, focus down in the hallway and see if you can see legs moving and you can see the feet. I don't have any problem with that. I can see the legs moving. I can see the feet. And then also notice that it is looks like this thing is wearing, whatever it is, the shadow, is wearing a fedora. It looks like it's wearing a hat. Now, again, could this be hoaxed? Yes, it could. But if it is, it would have had to have been done by its producers, and that is CNN. All right? Could it be a light source behind the cameraman, and someone is walking in front of that light? Well, that means they would be walking in front of the light, but behind the cameraman. If they walk in front of the camera, you obviously would see them. So if it's someone walking behind this cameraman, then the light source would have caused a shadow that is elongated down the hallway like the shadow in the photograph that I've just put on the screen. And that isn't what we see. If, in fact, the shadow is caused by someone down there in that living room, then what we would be looking at would be a shadow that is emanating from left to right, and the shadow would be elongated at an angle across the wall, across the living room, and that isn't what we see. What we see is a shadow that is upright and in proportion and not elongated. So I'm not saying that that is Michael Jackson, and I'm not saying that it is a ghost. What I am saying, again, is quite simply this explanation that's been given by CNN. They're trying to debunk it already. They're trying to say, oh, no, no, no. That was caused by a crew member. Okay, I just want them to reproduce it. Just show us how you did it. Because none of the possibilities match that video, in my opinion. All right, we're going to open up the telephone line. And the telephone number is appearing on your screen. It is 480-553-7232 or 888-223-4599. Now, the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you need to call me toll-free, you can do so.
I think I've lost connection.
We can hear you, Walter. Well, we're getting help, all kinds of help, folks. But the telephone number is 480-553-7232. That's the telephone number to call if you can call me without it being long distance. Okay? Now, if it's going to be long distance for you, you can use the toll-free number, and the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. 888-223-4599. Now, here's the question I've got for you. First of all, I'm not going to ask you, do you believe this is a ghost? Because you know my position on believe. And that is, it's speculation. Belief is what you get to the end of the data and you fill in the blank with speculation. That's believe. Here's the question. Do you think that the explanation given by CNN adequately fits what you see in that video? Secondly, if you think it was hoaxed, You understand, you're saying CNN hoaxed it. And sort of describe for us what you think they did. How did they do that? Walter, are you back with us?
I'm back with you.
Okay. Maybe our connection will be better now. By the way, since you're involved in counterintelligence, or you were, I don't know if you're aware of this, but North Korea has been attacking the USA, cyber attack on the USA and South
Yep.
Korea. And then it's over the internet. And as those government computers go through their routines to continue running and fight off the attack, they reroute all kinds of things. And that does create some disturbance on the internet.
Sure.
All right. Now, so we unintentionally, we may be being victimized by South Korea.
Yes, it's definitely, you know, if you know, with their targets up the line from us, you know, internet-wise, it makes perfect sense that, you know, our internet is just going to go haywire until they get this all worked out.
Yeah. All right, now I'm just going to check the other phone line. Yep, it's working. Folks, you know, if you're not interested in talking about this, Walter and I will talk about it. Doesn't bother me. We'll do that. But the telephone number is 480-553-7232-888. 223-4599 is toll free. And if you live outside the USA and Canada, you, of course, can send me a flash message. The flash message feature is on my website. And all you have to do is simply go to my website and scroll down until you find the link that says flash message. Okay. I ran that video again, Walter. Did you see in that video, did you happen to see the movement that I was talking about that looks like the feet at the end of the legs?
Yes. Yeah, when you pointed it out and we watched it again, I saw it clearly.
How could you do that? Because if the feet are visible, then they're in that shadow, then it's obviously not from behind the camera.
Right. Well, it would have to, I'll tell you, the only way that could be done is A, the CNN crew decided to pull a hoax. B, there was stuff on the sides that we can't see that was part of the hoax, and that's why we're not allowed to see them. In other words, why didn't the camera, well, ostensibly they didn't realize they had caught that until later. And that could be part of the whole hoax setup. If it was not, why not go down that hallway and take a look? Of course they didn't, so that, is one in the possible hoax column. Otherwise, if a hoax, if it wasn't something that they were doing in those little corners that we can't see, or even in some out of view little nook or cranny in the hallway, then I argue that it being a hoax, it would have to have been added digitally afterwards. And you know what? I really don't buy that CNN and the Larry King Show would take the time, particularly during the morning season of all this, morning is death and all that.
It just doesn't. I mean, look,
they would have done that.
Yeah, CNN doesn't do, in my opinion, a very good job of reporting news around the world.
Okay.
But I'm not singling them out. I don't think any of the major networks do a very good job because they opinionate everything.
Yeah.
However,
oh, there you are.
Larry King doesn't seem to me to be the type of guy that would allow them to do that on his show. If someone wanted to do a hoax, I don't think Larry King would have put up with it.
No.
And I don't think CNN would. And, I think that would be beneath even CNN. I just don't think they would have done it. So here's what I'm left with. None of the stuff that is in that video matches any of the stuff that's in that explanation, in my opinion.
Right.
So I don't know what it is, and I'm willing to say it could be a ghost, but I'm not willing to say that it is because, there's some pretty smart people with special effects, and
Yes. Someone
could have done this.
Sure.
And I just don't know.
Well, if we can eliminate, let's just say for conversation's sake, which is what the show is about, let's say we've eliminated that it was some trick of light, or reflection. Let's say we've eliminated the hoax factor. So let's say it was some type of disembodied entity, okay? Well, one thing we need to consider are the legendary shadow people. And I might add that shadow people have been seen with these fedora-type hats. I have heard accounts and read accounts where these shadowy, I've always heard that male figures, and they're described, interestingly, as wearing a fedora-type hat or a slouch hat. This is in stories up and down the California coast and in the central valleys of, I think, Shasta. The Shasta Mountain area has shadow men with big, tall, peaked hats. I believe the central California coastline, there's a place that has encountered, shadow men with these peaked hats and fedora-type brimmed hats. And also down here in the Inland Empire on a place we have in Riverside called Mount Rubidoux. But what's interesting is when you bring in the possibility of the shadow people, then you open up to the stuff I alluded to earlier about the Santa Barbara area in general. So you have to.
Okay, well, what are shadow people? I mean, we've talked about it before, but let's talk about that. What are they?
These are the I'm going to call them beings, or they're sighted, in people's homes or outdoors in remote locations, but sometimes, you know, in people's homes in cities and suburbs, what have you. And they are, it's like a shadow without a body moving around. When I hear the description of the witnesses, the experiencers, and what I've read, to me, what it means to me is a shadowy humanoid form without a body. It's like a black, dark, blurry, just shadow. How else do you describe it? That is moving through a room or across a terrain. And what I think of, it is evocative of interdimensional phenomena. In other words, I mentioned before where the veil of time is thin, where the veil between eras is thin, you might get a shadow person, or it has been described by others, and I think that this is a possibility, that it is a certain entity that moves between dimensions, into various dimensions. And maybe perhaps the shadow nature of how they look has to do with the form that they take when they are moving between these dimensions.
All right, a couple of questions about this. First of all, is the shadow people, that's not the same thing as a ghost, right?
Not exactly the same thing as a ghost, no. In fact, and a lot of negative experiences have come along with the shadow people, to be honest.
Okay. Secondly, have you ever seen shadow people?
I'm not sure. I might have.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay. So it's a possibility.
I've not had the classic shadow person experience, but I've had some corner of the eye experiences that are part of the shadow people experience. Yes.
All right. Now, if we're not talking about ghosts, mm-hmm. try to nail down for us probably what you think we're talking about, if it's shadow people.
Well, again, you know, all joking aside about what I said earlier about here come the people saying, you know, demonic stuff, I do not discount what we think of as demons. Make no mistake about it, I certainly do believe in the existence of entities that do not have our best interests in mind, what religious people have come to call evil. Their motives, as Alan Bates' character in the Mothman Prophecies says, their motives are not human. They are interdimensional. They're interdimensional beings. They're entities that live further along that exist in more of the spectrum of physical reality than we are used to in the common everyday life.
Okay, and so then what's the deal with wearing pointed hats or fedoras?
Well, I don't know. I would say the slouch hat might lend to the veil between the eras of time. I mean, the people that see the dark figures with the slouch hats might be seeing, you know, men from, you know, a past era in which hats like that were, you know, very, very much, you know, in vogue, the norm. It could be something that they wear as part of, you know, maybe moving between dimensions. I mean, think about this. Classically, we depict witches with the pointed hat, correct?
That's true.
That goes back to the same tradition as the dunce cap. You ever wondered, most people don't realize how the dunce cap came about and why the so-called dumb kid is put in the corner with the dunce cap. And that is because the farther you go back into lore and history, the more you get into alchemists and wizards and such. You know, these men who, like King Solomon, would do high magic, and Enoch. And a lot of times they would wear conical hats because it would draw the energies down from the other dimensions, the higher dimensions and levels, and it would make them wiser, it would make them smarter, it would give them a wider perspective and view of reality. So this might be what these hats are. We're seeing them as, you know, a peaked hat, you know, or we're seeing them as, you know, maybe a fedora, but it might be that the hat that they're wearing, you know, connects to that tradition that I'm talking about with the conical hat. Specifically the fedora, I don't know. You know, maybe Walter Gibson was aware of this phenomena when he conceived and created the shadow character, because the shadow is cloaked in black and wears that fedora and, you know, moves like these shadow beings.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the sort of the sci-fi series, The Shadow Knows.
Yeah,
right?
The old pulp mystery kind of cult mystery character. Exactly. I mean, you know, maybe Gibson, you know, knew something about that. Certainly, Lovecraft, you know, one of his contemporaries, Lovecraft and others, you know, who wrote during that era, they knew something, as I'm learning in my research. And others, you know, have written about. But the farther you go back in the lore, the more you will find and recognize some of these phenomena that people are now, you know, describing like the shadow people. The farther you go back in the history and the lore, you begin to recognize, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, I see what this is. This is very much like the classic UFO, the person who's drawn into this stuff simply by being interested in UFOs and flying saucers and ET grays from outer space. Well, the closer they truly look, the deeper they truly investigate, they begin to move away from the classic ET hypothesis. I'm not saying those don't exist. Of course, I believe they do. But what I'm saying is, you know, you take a guy like Jacques Vallée, John Keel, who just passed away recently, and others, the deeper they look, the more complex of something they see, and they begin to recognize in other UFO reports what these people might actually be seeing. And many of the answers are found the farther you go back in history. And that's where I argue that what we might be seeing here at Neverland Ranch in this video, if what we're seeing is a true phenomena, to something happened that's not a fake, what might have been going on there was an influence of what's been influencing that area for a long time. I mean, and I'll tell you, the Chumash Indians, they know. They're shaman. They know the truth about that area, and I would venture to say, maybe, you know, conversation for another time. But when you consider where Michael Jackson went in his personal life, you know, the last several years of his life, and he was living there, I am not surprised, because there is a history of people suddenly acting crazy in that area. In 1876. In Santa Barbara, there was a sudden spike. Numerous counts of insanity-related crimes. We're talking murders, we're talking assaults, we're talking rapes. It was this crazy, mad season.
All right, we have to hold up right there. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this. All right, Walter, it comes to my mind that there is a theory, and first of all, let me check and make sure you're still with me. Are you still with me,
yes.
Walter? Okay.
Yes, I'm here with you.
There is a theory, and I know you've run into this, that shadow people, ghosts, poltergeists are projections from our own minds. We invent them in our own minds. They emanate from us. So that if there is a group of people in a place where a shadow person is seen and several of those people see them, the theory is that at least one of those people is projecting it, maybe unintentionally, but projecting it. What do you think about that? Do you think these things exist independently of us, or are they projections from our minds?
You know, my answer, and I'm not trying to not give an answer, but my based on my personal experience, I'm going to say both are true. Sir, I definitely believe in separate entities. However, I think the idea is intriguing that we project. I think that's evidence that we are multi-dimensional, however you want to put it, beings ourselves, multifaceted beings ourselves. Certainly, I think this is manifested on the most basic level by when we spook ourselves. You know, we get our minds on something that just freaks us out, and we just kind of give ourselves the chills.
Yeah.
I think that's a low-level manifestation of that. And maybe because Michael Jackson was so intensely on everyone's mind, and that's why they were up there, maybe someone in the crew actually projected what could be, you know, taken for, you know, a spectral image of Michael Jackson in his home.
Well, this gets into some really very esoteric kind of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is evidence that thought, our thoughts, are not just inside our heads, but are actually projected outside of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've mentioned this many times, the research of Dr. Arthur Epling, and he's been a guest on this show many times. His research with plants has really far-reaching ramifications because he's been able to actually scientifically quantify the fact that plants react to our thoughts. Now, if plants react to our thoughts, then those thoughts are not contained only in our heads. They're being transmitted outside of us. Now, assuming that all of that is true, it would seem to me that as you were saying, you know, at the time when this video was shot, the world was intensely focused on Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Whether you liked him or not.
Some people are intensely focused on the negatives about his life, and there were many. Some people are intensely focused on what a great entertainer he was, and I don't think there's any debate about the fact that the guy could sing and dance like nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you had both positive and negative, intense emotion and intense focus and thought about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there could be some validity to what you said, that maybe someone in the crew, or maybe several people in the crew, were just so intensely wrapped up with Michael Jackson, you know, and had an emotional sort of experience while they're shooting this, that perhaps someone in the crew projected this from their minds.
And this is called traditionally, again, here we go, the answers are to be found the farther you go back in history. This is called traditionally a tulpa. This is a being, an entity, an image that is created in the mind, intensely focusing on it. For example, in my book Latitude 33, the Disneyland book, for those who've read it, you know who Alfred, and those who know about ley lines and have heard me talk before, or others, Alfred Watkins. I saw Alfred Watkins at Disneyland in 1981, and he'd been dead for 45 some odd years. One of the theories Greg and I present in the book is that what I experienced was a tulpa that was manifested physically because of all the other elements going into association with ley lines. Now, this was before I knew who Alfred Watkins was, so it makes it even more interesting in my case. But imagine, you know, if you got a kid obsessed with Batman, okay? and is constantly thinking about Batman, constantly just obsessed with Batman, and then suddenly sees Batman standing in the doorway of his house.
Okay.
What he's done is, according to the theory of the Tulpa, is he has focused so intently this energy that an actual, what appears to be physical image of Batman appears. Some argue that they can manifest very physically, where you can touch them. I certainly felt Alfred Watkins' coat lapel. I held it in my hand. But this is the Tulpa. What you're talking about is possibly, someone projected a Tulpa of Michael Jackson's image in his home that day. That's a possibility.
All right, now let's talk about Tulpas.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this term come from?
My understanding is that it's the tradition I've heard of it. It's related to the ancient Tibetans, the Tibetan shaman. But certainly there are many other cultures that have the same kind of being. I mentioned the Chumash, as I was talking about earlier. In my research has shown me, I've learned that, it looks like they may be masters of this projecting their mental thoughts into the physical. We're talking about images of entities. We're talking about energy, blasting energy down the ley lines. But it's a thing that it's just, there's no other way to describe it. It's almost like you're kind of bringing a creation into a being into creation in a manifestation. Just through, your mental power. And if you read Alexandra David Neal's book on Tibet, her time in Tibet, an old book, she gets into this and that. It's really interesting. But
this is pretty interesting because what you're describing as being a tulpa or tulpa, what you're describing there has been described in modern Western civilization as, quote, a figment of your imagination.
Yes, the easy explain away.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say that you're terrified of snakes, as I am. I have my reaction to snakes is not rational. Okay, my reaction to a snake goes way beyond the bounds of rationality.
Yeah,
I don't want to go out looking for them, but when I come across one, I'm not going out trying to hunt them down and kill all the snakes. But when I come across one of us is leaving there dead.
I hear you.
Okay, now my response to snakes has nothing to do with rationality at all.
Right.
There's only
to your conscious mind.
That's right.
Rational.
Okay, now let's say that I have been out on South Mountain and I've had a couple of encounters with rattlesnakes out there because they certainly are out there.
Oh yeah.
All right, and I come back home, and I'm all shaken up because of my encounter with a couple of rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, my mind is just focused on those rattlesnakes. It's been a very terrifying experience for me. Mm-hmm. And so I hear something. Maybe the air conditioner comes on, blows on a little piece of paper, and causes it to rustle just a little bit. And I hear that, and I interpret that as a rattlesnake. All right. Now, then, for whatever reason, I see a rattlesnake. My mind causes me to see it.
Yeah.
I've never gone this far with it, but in actuality, I've never seen a rattlesnake that wasn't there. But it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
If I then die as a result of a heart attack, this one's just way too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've already seen two real ones, and then I'm seeing one that my mind tells me is real, and I have a heart attack and die from it. You know, it really doesn't matter whether that was a real rattlesnake or a figment of my imagination. It had the same effect on me. You follow what I'm saying? It wouldn't matter, even if that's not a real physical rattlesnake, if it's just something I am seeing mentally and believe to be real, doesn't matter. The effect was the same. It killed me.
Mm-hmm.
So figments of imagination, or tulpas, mm-hmm. I think should be seen as reality. At the moment they're happening, it is a real experience for the person that it's happening to. However,
right.
In the example that I just gave, I doubt that a camera would pick it up. And with this video, the testimony of CNN is that no one who was there saw this, and yet it's on the video. It's the exact flip side of what I just described. So how about a tulpa? Now, we'll bring that up when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, and I again apologize to everyone who, due to the technical mess that is going on, we're not being attacked, not this time. This has to do with technical issues with the cable company. It has to do with technical issues due to the... The general attack, I think there's a possibility that there may be some spillover from the general attack that is going on from North Korea against the USA and against South Korea. A new attack was launched today, according to reports. So maybe it's some of that. I do apologize, however, I know that you have the opportunity to watch this show or to listen to it over the next 24 hours, and I hope it is interesting and instructive to you. Now, Walter, we've just got a few minutes left. I described the situation where my mind might project a rattlesnake, something I'm really terrified of. And then it could have, even if the snake doesn't bite me, the one that I'm projecting, it could very possibly scare me enough to cause a heart attack and I die. So in that case, whether it was a real physical snake or not, it had the same effect. It killed me.
Right.
All right. Now, the flip side is, in this case, we're talking about the possibility that this video was generated as a tulpa, a projection from someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, no one, according to CNN, no one there saw this with their eyes, and yet there it is on camera. Do you have any information about the possibility of a tulpa being projected that cameras pick up, and yet people don't see it with their eyes?
Well, I think we've heard about this. We hear this all the time when people take photos and they see orbs or they see what they think are ghosts. And it's very often just moved over into the ghost file and classified as a ghost. And I've never really heard people say, well, maybe it's a tulpa. You know, study the place that it was the picture was taken in, study the object or the place it was photographed, study the people associated with that place, and maybe the image you're seeing might explain the phenomena that shows up in the final pictures, which was not visible to the naked eye. It could also explain why you get people that, you know, the folks with the orbs and other things, they want to see something so badly that they are manifesting these orbs themselves. They're seeing it as some type of exterior thing, like, ooh, ah, what is this? It must be a ghost. when actually the orb might be simply a manifestation of their concentration and their focus, their desire to see something, that this is how it emanates off the human body. It's like, you know, like lightning emanating off of a Tesla coil. So
their thoughts are emanating off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever thoughts are, I don't know if they are some type of energy, obviously.
Yes.
Those may be interacting with the electronics of the camera.
Well, the camera's capturing what the eye is not, is what I meant. But yeah, maybe there's something about the camera that's different than the human eye and everything associated with it that the camera will pick it up. I mean, you know, speaking of orbs, they kind of look like bubbles, and you said thoughts. It kind of makes you wonder who was the first cartoonist who invented the idea of the thought bubble when drawing a cartoon, because, you know, maybe that person knew something we didn't about these orbs being thoughts. But, yeah, it could, you know, it's either something of that about a human eye or about a camera that is allowing the thing to show up on the camera and not be visible to the human eye, or it's just, that's the only thing I can explain. It's obviously something about the human eye or the camera that makes it appear to one and not the other. But and maybe, you know, cameras were not always, they didn't have batteries, they were mechanical things, so electrical phenomena I don't think would have anything to do with it.
All right, now let's change the subject just a little bit. I want to go back to this book that you're working on.
Yes.
And I want to say something I didn't have the opportunity to say earlier. And that is this. Folks, Walter and I have spent a number of hours talking about various aspects of the contents of this book. And I've got to tell you, Walter, even though it's not anything to do with the Da Vinci Code and that sort of lore, I think this story... this storyline rivals the Da Vinci Code. I really do. And, I've kind of imagined this thing as a movie. It would make one fantastic movie. Have you given any thought to doing it as a movie?
Oh, well, we're gonna go there once we get the... I want to say that I'm actually writing the book with... Richard Spence, who is the author of Secret Agent 666, Aleister Crowley and the Sinking of the Lusitania. That's from Farrell House. And I went to him with the information, and he was very enthused. And we're working on the book together, and we're working our way through the draft. And, of course, once we get the book completed and, you know, through the publishing process, that will be part of the publishing process, will be to shop it around, because, you know, it's what we're writing, of course, you know, is a true story. It's or nonfiction. And, you know, it would very much so be something that people, I think, would enjoy to see in a cinematic adaptation. It lends itself to that.
It has all the elements of mystery and intrigue and the mystical and paranormal, and you know, it's based on it's a reporting or an investigation of real events that did happen, and real people that did live and breathe and walk and talk, and just absolutely mysterious, suspenseful too.
And you know, I have to say too that down the road, the story behind this investigation and behind this book, the story behind the story, I don't even go into in the book, and that's the thing that for me makes it so far the most extraordinary personal investigative experience I've ever had in my life.
And it's pretty intense. You've told me some of it. It's pretty intense. It really is. Walter, we're almost out of time. I appreciate you coming on and talking with me this evening about this. And You know, it's I couldn't think of anyone else that would be more in tune with this topic. And I appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
I appreciate you having me on. I'll tell you, leave it to you to find something about Michael Jackson that I would find interesting to talk about this week.
I don't know that it is about Michael Jackson. I don't know what that is in that video.
I mean, you got me talking about Michael Jackson, and I'm one of those that's been fed up since hour 25 of the whole thing. But you know, this is this kind of opened up the doorway into our bailiwick, and so I appreciate
that. You know, and the deal is that quite simply that. Yes, they were at Michael Jackson's house, and that was their purpose. Yeah. But they came up with this video that falls over into my genre, and I'm not saying it's Michael Jackson. I'm not saying it's a ghost. I'm just saying it's awfully weird, and it does not appear to fit their explanation. Stay on the line with me for just a minute. Walter, I want to talk with you after we go off the air. That's it, folks. That's a wrap. Sorry for the technical problems. We're still working to get them all fixed, but I hope you enjoy it when you watch the replay. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.